bless. Well, Dutch Fort Baptist Church is alive. I tell you. Wow, that was awesome. I tell you, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And especially when you see and feel just so much excitement and energy and God doing so much. You know, there's a lot of things that I could sort of start off with this morning about how the Lord is blessing Dutch Fort Baptist Church and how your attendance has just increased. People are finding this place as a place, not only a place of refuge, but a place of praise and honor and glory to God. People are getting saved, and I'm hearing story after story about how people are coming to know the Lord and being baptized, and it's just exciting to hear about those waters being stirred and people coming to know the Lord and lives being changed. And we could talk about your giving, how that you are honoring the Lord. You know, a part of giving back to the Lord is not just your life, but everything, and including your tithes and offerings. And as I look at those things that come my way, and I'm thinking, wow, that's just awesome how the people of God are realizing that God expects so much from us. He wants all of us. And your offerings are reflecting that in your giving and your increase in your mission support. On and on and on. The Lord is blessing Dutch Fort Baptist Church. And I'm just thankful to be here today and be a part of this wonderful service and the excitement and energy they're sharing. You know, as I pondered what and how to share what I wanted to share today, I just thought of that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but He is strong. You know, as I think about how the Scripture tells us how much God loves us, I'm just absolutely amazed at His extravagant love and how that love comes to us and how that love is demonstrated to us. The psalmist said it well when he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Abraham, in some of his dark days, knowing that God had spoken to him and had given him a promise that one day he would have a child, but yet, as a very old man, he realized that this promise had not happened, and he became concerned about that and wondered, God, are you going to fulfill this promise, and how? And the Bible says that a vision came to him, and an angel said to him, Abraham, don't worry about it. I'm in control. Joseph, when he learned about his Mary, who had conceived and was to give birth to a child, and was concerned and was afraid, the angel says to Joseph, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. I am in control. The very first verse I memorized after I became a Christian in 1975 was Luke 12:32, where it says, fear not, my little children, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The Lord is in control. No matter what we may be facing today, no matter what the fears are, and some are here today with maybe a lot of fears. Maybe you're thinking about the finances, or maybe you're thinking about the politics, or maybe you're thinking about health, or maybe you're thinking about family, and maybe you're thinking about a lot of different things. And so fear may be here today. And as you think about what you may be fearing this morning, the Lord would say to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm in control. You know, we can find comfort in the Lord's hands. The Lord's hands are big, and they're wide, and they're strong, and they're warm, and they're loving. Our scripture today is found in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 39. And just to give you a little bit of background about the scripture, what was happening is the Lord had gone to the cross, had given His life, and had gone to the grave, and on the third day had risen from the grave. Because without the death and without the resurrection, there would be no hope. So the Lord, after His resurrection, appeared to His disciples. And at first they didn't recognize Him. They weren't sure who He was. But they talked with Him and thought, there's something different about this man. And as they began to participate in the meal, they realized, Where is he? Later that day, he appeared to him again. And he speaks words to them, and he says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? And then he says, look at my hands. Because you see, the Lord knew that when the disciples looked at his hands and saw the piercing of his hands, that they would recognize this was the Christ that was on the cross. He died. He went to the grave. He resurrected. And now the disciples can say, he is with us. Jesus was saying to them, disciples, your fears can be calmed now that you see my hands. Because you see, these were the hands that pointed to a world that was void, that had nothing, and pointed and said, existence, to everything. He pointed to the Red Sea and pushed those Red Seas back so Moses could cross over. These were the hands that pointed to the bush when Abraham was about to give his only son Isaac up as a sacrifice. These hands pointed to the bush and provided a sacrifice, a ram that was in the bush, and said, Abraham, you don't have to sacrifice your son. Here is the sacrifice. These were the same hands that took the mouth of the lions when Daniel was in the lion's den and closed them so Daniel would be safe and could live. These were the hands that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego safe from the fiery furnace. It was God's hands. These were the hands that in all the stars he put them there. But there was one star that he wanted to point to and say, I want that star to shine bright on this night so the shepherds would know where the Christ child is. God's hands were those hands that were raised up and nailed to the cross. And when he died as the Son of God, paying for all the sins of the world, those same hands he stretched before his disciples and he says, why do you doubt? Because these hands are in front of you. You will know that I am God. See them, touch them. I have risen. When I look at my hands, I realize I have limits. When you look at your hands, you realize you have limits. We do a lot of things with our hands. Matter of fact, we're here today because of some things, some functions that our hands did for us. Even this morning as we clapped for our pastor to be here, we applauded because we wanted to show him that we love him. We greet people. Some have greeted me this morning with the shaking of hands. Sometimes we shake hands and we say goodbye. We drove here with our hands, hopefully. We play with our hands. We work with our hands. We cook with our hands. And we pray with our hands. Now be careful, hands, because you're limited. Sometimes these hands do careless things. You probably read about this past week down in Orangeburg where a man was robbed in a parking lot. And the robber says, I want everything you've got. And so he reached in his pockets and he gave everything he had, all of his money, all of his change, and including his lower dentures. Be careful, little hands. But see, God has no limit with his hands because it is with his hands that we're able to find comfort. God's hands are big and wide and strong. They're loving, they're caring, and they're warm. They're safe, and they're permanent, and they're inviting. God with his hands can touch sickness and heal it. God helps hurting people. God raises the fallen. God's hands reach out to the lonely and discouraged. God's hands welcome the lost, the fallen, the hurting. You see, God's hands are those hands in a wide open arm stretched out, invites people unto himself. I think of the prodigal son. You know the story. You know the story, how the father had two sons, and the younger son asked for his inheritance early. The father gave it to him. He left home. He wasted it. Fell on hard times. Ate of some of the same food that his employer fed the pigs. The younger son one day came to himself. In other words, the Bible says he came to himself, meaning that he realized that he had been rebellious. And he repented of his rebellion. And the younger son wanted to go home to the father. The younger son did what some of us sometimes do. He began talking to himself, saying, you know, in my father's house, there were food. There were comfort. There were beds. There was a roof over my head. The younger son began thinking about these things and practicing to himself, I have sinned. I have rebelled against my father. And then one day the younger son decided that he was going to go back and he was going to tell his father what he'd been thinking. And he was going to ask his father, can I just have a cover over my head? Could I just eat some of the same food that the servants eat? I don't deserve to be your son. But I do want to have some of the comforts that you provide. So the younger son journeyed his way back home. And the father is an amazing person because he was looking for his son. He was waiting for his son. I don't know how long his son had been gone, but the Bible says undoubtedly that he was just looking because it said the father saw the son from a far distance. He was waiting for that son to come home. The father seeing the son, immediately began to realize, this is the son that's been lost. This is the son that I feared was dead. This son is now coming home. And now the whole story changes because now I want you to notice that father's hands. When that father saw the son, he was waiting, he was looking, and he had compassion on him. The Bible says he fell on him, and he kissed him, and he embraced him. And then the father pointed to his servants, and he says, I want you to get the best robe. And I want you to bring that robe right here and place it on my son. And I want you to hold out your hand. And the father placed on that son's hand. He took his hand, placed on that son's hand, a family ring. And that father looked down. He looked down at his son's shoes, his son's feet. And they were dusty and dirty. And he got down, and the Bible says he wiped off the dust from his son's feet. That father's hands did some incredible things that day to be able to demonstrate and show his wayward son how much he loved him, how much he cared for him. That father loved his son. But I think about how that father loved his son so much and how much greater that the son loved the father. And how much more, the father loves us, and how much more he loves us. And, as the father pointed to his servants and said, hey, guys, we're going to have a party, and he pointed to the fattest calf out there and said, I want you to get that calf and bring him here because my son who was, I thought, dead is now alive. The son who I thought was lost is now found. And the welcoming father did all those things around him and celebrated the coming of his son. When I think about that, I think about how the scripture tells us how much God loves us. Matter of fact, I think about the song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby. I'm not going to sing it, okay? Well, he's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the sisters, the you and me sisters in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the you and me brothers in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Knowing that God has the whole world in his hands makes a big difference, doesn't it? When he said to those disciples, behold these hands, you can find comfort. Behold these hands, you can find help. In these hands, you will find hope. So God stretches out his arms, shows his hands, and says, all who are weary, come unto me. He stretches out his arms and shows his hand and says, I welcome you home. He stretches out his arms and shows his hands and says, you are my child. He's a loving father. He loves us with an amazing kind of love. No matter how wayward we may have been, and all of us have been, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So we are like that wayward son. But no matter how away we've been, he loves us. He welcomes us home. And that's the relationship that He desires to have with us today. Awesome God. It's hard to fathom Him, His bigness, His greatness, His majesty. And yet, He'll dust off your feet with His hands, saying, "Come home, my child, come home." What a relationship that He desires to have with us. And that's the relationship that He desires to have with each of us today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a song of invitation. And the Heavenly Father, who loves us so greatly, is inviting each of us into a relationship with Him that is beyond our imagination. He's a good Father. He loves us so much. And He wants us to be with Him. Let us pray.